Okay, Ron. Good evening, everyone. It's good to have you with us, and I hope you've come with open minds and open hearts, and that we can together share a little bit of God's Word and agree that certainly it is wonderful, wonderful, wonderful to have it and to be able to open a His Word and look at a few verses at the time. And sometimes we don't get very far, but again, we do. So there's no time limit on it, I guess. And the Lord has allowed me 82 and a half years, so maybe He'll allow me a little more. We'll keep going. This is study 81. In our study that we named Wisdom about almost 2 years ago or close to it. And it dawned on me during studies that when we started this, it kind of dawned on me that if you have the Holy Spirit indwelling you, that's the thing that keeps your mind and your heart in tune. And it should be in tune, because that's really how you learn and come to the knowledge that Paul had when he got into around AD 60 and got this message that God had given to him that He didn't even let his son teach when his son was here for that 3 years. And so he had a man for that. He had one we call Saul of Tarsus, and he became Paul in Scripture. And this is what we've been looking at these last seven books, which is basically 2 1/3% of the written word that we have. And it doesn't seem like much, but yet, way back in the 40s, Brother Oscar Baker started a ministry and he named it Truth for Today. And we're still going with it. So that's where we are. That's what we do. And so we're in Philippians 4. And we started off with the first verse last week. And I'm just going to read it again, and then we'll get into our study tonight. There's 9 verses left out of the 3rd and 4th chapter. There was 9 verses left there that dealt with Paul and Paul's example. And I'll just go ahead and open the King James Version and read 4, and then we'll read 4, 1, and 2. And we're going to do 2 to start off with it. But it says, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown." That's what he called him. He said, "So stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved." And he always wanted to be an example. And truly, he was an example until his death, whenever that was. But he is writing this letter back to the Philippians. And he says this, he says in verse 2, "I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche," if I pronounce those halfway like they should be, "that they be of the same mind in the Lord." So there was two ladies here that Paul was remembering, and Eudice should be Eudice, because it was Eudice is the feminine of Eudice. And we'll figure that out in a minute, but that's the way that worked out. So in verse 2 he says, I beseech you, I call aside and appeal to. These two ladies, okay? And I think that going at Greek word is parakaleo, and that comes from the word to pray. I beseech you, I pray you, is what he's really saying for these two ladies. And it said in the Companion Bible that Eudice should be a Eudice. And beseech Syntyche. And both of those were feminine words. That they be of the same mind, or that they mind the same things. And this brings me back to 2 years ago when we begin to study this, that for a person to have a mindset that can truly understand the things that Paul had been given by God, that the mind and the heart should be in tune so the Holy Spirit could work through that individual. And that's, and as far as I'm concerned, that's what it means or what it takes to be part of the body of Christ. Because that is truly how one comes to know and to get these things that needs to be gotten that Paul is putting forth here. And if we look at verse 2 in the Koine Greek brought down into the English, it says, Eudice, I exhort, and Syntyche, I exhort, the same to be minded in Lord. And so to bring it down to the more modern version of the English, it says, I exhort Eudice and Syntyche to be of the same mind, of the same minded in Lord. And Jack wrote this in the Workman's Interlinear, and he did it. He and his wife did it in the Koine Greek, and then they did it translated out of the Koine Greek into English, and then he brought it down to the more modern English. And so that's what we have here. And Jack also gave his notes here, and he says there was a notable difference in the attitudes toward women in the Athenian area from the Macedonian Greeks. And Macedon women were treated much as they are in our society. They were known to hand down their family names. These two ladies certainly had responsibilities in the assembly. Apparently they were at odds on some questions, and Paul does not regard it as a crucial matter, but does plea for their unity. This is for their and the assembly's welfare. So again, we're reminded that mind and heart and Holy Spirit should work as one, that we can have promise and hope in the body of Christ. And there's four or five scriptures here that Jack wanted us to look at, and we will. So let's go back to Romans 12 for a minute. And that's on page 1687 if you have a companion Bible. But Romans 12:16 says this. Well, let's go back to 15 and start at 15. I like to do that sometimes. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. That's good information, regardless of what dispensation or where you are. Rejoice with them that rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. And this is the gist of this verse. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate, or get on the same page with them. If you want to look at it that way. Be not wise in your own conceits. So don't really show off what you know to somebody that's learning. That's another point that needs to be taken care of here. So we'll go to the next one, and the next one is Ephesians 4. That's not very far in front of Philippians where we are, Ephesians 4. And Ephesians 4 is on page, we're going to look at page 1765. And it's Ephesians 4:3. So I guess we'll maybe look at, let me go back one. And here in Ephesians 4, Paul says, talking about studying or endeavoring to keep the unity or the oneness of the Spirit in the bonds of peace. That's verse 3. That's what he wanted you to see. But 4 and 5 and 6 says this: there is one body, one Spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. And right after I first heard the word rightly divided, I dwelt on this for a while. And it's a good thing to dwell on. Okay, let's look at 1 Peter. So we'll go on and go toward the end of our scripture. Let's see, I'm in James now, so we'll go to Peter. In 1 Peter 3:8, it's on page 1859. I'll get there in a second. 1 Peter 3:8. Finally, be ye all of one mind. Do you see the point here? The point of verse 2 of chapter 4 is that both of these ladies need to be on the same page in order for the assembly to help the assembly and also to help them two together. Okay, so it says, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are therefore called and that ye should inherit a blessing. Okay, let's go all the way back to Amos. And Amos 3:3. It's on page 1235. I think I've got it marked. No. Or oh, 1235. I'm in 1285. Here you go. Yeah, I got it marked.
Threes and eights look a lot like them.
Yeah.
They always get
me. Yeah, 3:3, I've been going to an eye doctor a little bit again, so maybe that's the problem. Okay, Amos 3:3. And it says, can two walk together except they be agreed? Have you ever tried to go somewhere with somebody that, you know, you just couldn't agree with that, it seemed like that, one of you was on one page and another one was a few pages over on anything and everything that you talked about. And I think this was a good line here. God said, I'll punish you for your iniquities, but can two walk together except they agree? Will a lion roar in the forest when he hath no prey? Will a young lion cry out of his den if he have taken nothing? There's several things here in Amos that would give you the understanding of what Jack was trying to get out here. Okay, we're going to look at one more. Matthew 5:5. And that's on page 1316 if you have a companion Bible. And here Christ opened his mouth and he taught these people. I'm going to read 3, 4, and 5. And 6, maybe. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. To be pure in heart. That's where your mind and your heart together can enjoy this, the Holy Spirit that dwells within. Wonderful thoughts here. So let's go back to Philippians, and I took my marker out of Philippians, and I gotta hunt where I'm at again. Philippians 4. Okay, verse 3. We're gonna go back to the King James Version. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel. And I assume that's the two ladies that we were talking about. With Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. Oh, we're in Philippians here, but we're talking about the book of life. Mm-hmm. This is Paul, and this is truly Paul. And Paul says, and I entreat or ask thee also, true believers, or truth. Yoke, fellas. And we don't know exactly who this was intended to help. And the note in the Companion Bible says it might have been the overseer of Philippi to help these two women, which labored with me in the gospel. With Clement also. And Clement was a common name of that time in that area. And others, with others, and the with there has been added. The people of my fellow laborers and Synergos is the Greek name, whose names are in the book of life. And I got a note here that says, Paul's hope evidently was to bring these women, with this letter into his present truth. So from the book of life, he was trying to get them into the body of Christ. So
yeah,
to bring them.
The members of the body of Christ are not written in the book of life.
Right.
I don't believe. No. I believe that's for a different group of people with a different hope and a different promise.
Yeah. But, see, with what he was putting forth now and his knowledge now can carry him further down the road than
exactly.
They've been before.
And I think you're dead on the money. He, at this point in his life, understood at least some about the new hope that God had revealed to him. But there were a lot of people around him that had been listening to his kingdom message for years.
Yes.
And they weren't going to just, I don't think they were just going to fall headlong into this.
No, they didn't do like he did in chapter 3, because in chapter 3 he said everything I got back then.
Well, they didn't have the face-to-face revelation that he had either.
It was just dumb.
Yeah,
he was going to just pile it up and call it a bunch of trash.
Yeah, he was thoroughly convinced when he got the message that this is it.
Yeah.
I don't need anything else. I'm laying it all aside.
I'm laying all that aside that I may know him and know his resurrection, even to his sufferings and death.
Yep, exactly. Okay. That's a good point.
Okay. In Jack's Workman's Interlinear in verse 3 in the Koine Greek, it says, yes, I ask. Also, you true fellow workers, help those who in the good message strove together with me, with also Clement, and the rest of the fellow workers, my whose names in book of life. So, to bring it down to the modern English again, yes, I also ask you true fellow workers, help those who strove together with me in the good message, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life. So Paul, here Jack says, may be addressing an overseer of Philippi. So I guess this is where he got that I made the note from. It said he refers to past labors with the Philippians. While there is much conjecture as to the identity of Clement, the most reasonable view that he was one of the Philippians. Clement was a common name of the time and for that era. Interestingly, Clement and other fellow workers' names are written in the book of life. If they are yet alive, they may come to hear and believe the mystery of the future. Perhaps even this letter will bring them to present truth. So this was what? This was the hope of Paul. He certainly wanted to bring them to up to date or to new truth, if you want to call it new truth, at the time of the writing of this book in AD 60 or 61. And so we go to verse 4. And in verse 4 it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again, I say rejoice. In my notes, it says rejoice in Lord always, or time-wise. And that's a full stop. It is in Lord that one can truly rejoice. And again, God always uses a called one's name in Scripture, especially Old Scripture, not once but twice. And so using God's way, Paul says again, rejoice. He started out with rejoice and he ends with rejoice.
Amen.
So Paul was doing that God did when he called people by name, because he usually said their name twice for emphasis. And you didn't miss that. I think when God called you by name, you sure enough better answer. And so let's look at what Jack wrote in verse 4. And there's not much difference here between the Koine Greek and what's written in Scripture. Rejoice in Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. And this is a command of God's holy word. Note the command accurately. The command is to rejoice in Lord. The time is even given, and the time is always. One cannot rejoice in Lord unless he is in Lord. If he is in Lord, he will rejoice in those things which will bring happiness to he and the Lord also. This will rule out much of the world's offerings. Yet we're in the world, and certain works of God with his people and by his grace certainly should be rejoiced in. So Jack says, be wise. Think on these things. Be wise. When he made these notes here, to be wise. Truly see what's being said here. Okay. So let's go back to Nehemiah. And Nehemiah is on page 643, 810 of Nehemiah. And we're going to look at the 8th chapter. And we're going to look at verse 10. Then he said unto them, this was Nehemiah, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. And wait a minute, I got two pages here. For this day is holy unto the Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is in your strength. And Nehemiah was speaking to the Levites here about things that had been offered. So the Levites still, all the people saying, hold your peace, for the day is holy. Neither be ye grieved. And all the people went their way to eat, to drink, to send portions, to make great mirth, because they had understood the words that were declared unto them. Now, let's go over to Isaiah on page 1008 if you have a companion Bible. Isaiah, what did I say it was? 61. And it is on page 1008. We're going to look at verse 10. Verse 10 says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath robe of righteousness. And as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. For as the earth bringeth forth her buds, and the garden causeth things that are sown in the spring to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. Talking here about rejoicing. Okay. Let's go to the book of John and look at 15:11.
But headed, huh?
Yep. The cat done that one. Yeah. 15:11. Here we go. John 15. Let's just start at 9. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. So this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. That was John 15. Okay, let's just turn a page or two over and go to 16:24. There was something that Jack wanted us to see in here. Verse 23 says, "And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you." 24. "Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name? Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full." That was two places in John. In John 15 and John 16. Okay, let's just go over a little further to Romans. And we'll do Romans 1:11. And I've got it marked also in Romans 2, but I don't know when we'll get to that. Paul says in Romans, "For I long to see you, that I might impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end that you may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me." And Paul says in 13, "Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oft times I purposed to come unto you, but was led hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles." So, with the Romans, Paul was saying wherever he was going to rejoice. Let's go to Galatians. We're going to skip 2 Corinthians this time and go to Galatians 5. Galatians 5:22 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance," which is self-control. "Against such there is no law." So he's talking about the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Against such there is no law. And he will go on to enlarge on that a little bit before we get out of the fourth chapter. Okay. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians 2. What are we looking for? 19 and 20. Oh, yeah, I see 20 there. And it says, "For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy." That's all of those that Jack put in the fourth verse of chapter 4. We got time for another one?
Yes, 9:14.
Okay. Let's look at, let me go back. To Philippians again and look at verse 5. And it's pretty short. It said, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Okay. Paul says, let or allow. Your moderation, that's forbearance or gentleness. Be known. And known there is knowledge or gnosko. It's acquaintance or to realize. Known. You realize that you know it unto all men or persons. And there's a, when I read it here, it's almost like there's a question here. Let it be known unto all men, why? The Lord or your Redeemer is at hand. And so there's several places here that in this short verse of scripture that Jack wanted you to know. But let's read what he wrote or what he put in verse 5 here in his Workman's Interlinear. Down from the Koine Greek, he said, the gentleness of you let be known to all men. The Lord near. Oh, let your gentleness be made known to all men. The Lord is near. The word more properly means gentle forbearance. Some may patiently forbear, but not with gentleness. The Lord's example of forbearance with his lost sheep and with his body believers today is an abundant example of the concept. Paul of the Injures is well acquainted with Christ's patience and his love towards the sinner. And so there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 places here that Jack put in here that need to be looked at. And so I guess that'll probably take up pretty much the rest of the time. Okay, the first one is in Psalms 18. Psalms 18 is on page 736, the one we want to look at. If you have a companion Bible. I'm back in Nehemiah again. Oh, here we go. Psalms 18:35. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath holded me up, and thy gentleness hath made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip. I have pursued mine enemies and overtaken them. Neither did I turn again till they were consumed. So, this was what David wrote in Psalms 18, 35 through 38, 37. And then we go all the way back to Ephesians 6. And I sometimes wonder how Jack worked all this out, but certainly he had I read the wrong one. It was Romans 3:26. I'm sorry. Romans 3:26. I wrote this last week, so. My writing's getting a little old. 3:26. I'll get there in a minute. So Paul says, to declare, I say it this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. And he says, where is boasting then? Is it included? By what law? Of works. Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Okay. That was on page 1669. I want to go to 1 Thessalonians 2:7. Going back to Thessalonians under that. First Thessalonians 2:7, page 1789. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherished her children, so being effectually desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear to us. For you remembered, brother, in our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be charged unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God. And this was something that Paul was real careful about and real honest about. He didn't want to be indebted into any of them for what he knew concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, let's go to James. James 3:7, I think. Okay. Almost got there. Boy, my Bible's getting dog eared, Ronnie.
Well, I know where you can get a new one.
Yeah. I believe I know where that would be too. James 3:17. Talking about wisdom. Wisdom descendeth not from above. The wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But here's our verse. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Okay, 2 Timothy 2:24. Timothy 2:24 says, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure would give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they might recover themselves out of the snares of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. That was 2 Timothy 2:24, and then a verse or two more. And then Titus. Okay, Titus 3:2. It goes along with the rest of it. To speak evil of no man, to be no brawler, but gentle, showing all meekness to all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts, pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness, the love of God our Savior toward man appeared. So Paul is talking about himself here. He realized the situation that he had been in and what he had done. And he never fails, seemed like, to bring it up on occasion because he never forgot it. He never forgot what he did as early on in his life of provoking those and carry them off to jail and whatever that he did, especially when he was on the Damascus Road. And so we'll end there, and we'll pick up with 6 and go on next time. And because there's 6, 7, and 8 kindly continues on in this same vein about really how great the things of God looks at are. And he talks about the whatsoever things in verse 8. And it kind of goes back over some of these things, but he uses a couple of those words in those six or seven or eight places there that are not used anywhere else. The words aren't. And so I had to go back to the Strong's to look up to get those. But Paul is really bearing down on this thing about being an example, being one that exudes love, patience, understanding, and even in the world that he lived in was terrible, and the things that he had to endure. But yet, he kind of held his peace. And, you know, to think back on Paul and all the stuff that he went through in the Acts period, especially in the Acts period, and when he was writing this, he was still in chains. He was chained to a guard, a palace guard of the one that he was going to have to go before. And all these things that he said here, he goes back and mentions, well, I once did these, but that's not the way I live my life anymore. And that's a wonderful, wonderful thought that once a person gets the understanding of his mind and heart together with the Holy Spirit that it's something that he doesn't forget.
Amen.
Because it bears down. And a lot of times we kind of go off a little bit. People say and do things that might get us riled up or stirred up a little bit, but yet we have to remember who we are and that line that we're attached to, that line of faith that we're attached to is the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not our faith, but it's His faith that we're attached to.
Amen.
Kind of like a zip line. I still like to use that thing. You know, you can go up in the mountains and they'll have a way long zip line, maybe across a lake or something, and you hook to it and you get on that line and you go to the other end. When you're in the Lord Jesus Christ with the knowledge of the Holy Spirit, with your heart and mind together, you'll get there to the other end.
Amen.
There's no doubt about it. Because Christ has already paid that price. Not only did He relieve us of the sinfulness that we had, but He took care of the rest of it too. He took care of our hope also. And our hope is different from the other hope. And that 2.4% that we have in this book that's to us really tells us that over and over and over again by the Apostle Paul. He wants us to know that for sure.
Amen.
And he just keeps working it over and over again. And look how many places it's in the Bible already. In other ways and in other words that we've read tonight even. Because we read six or seven scriptures along with a verse you get three or four verses, you've already got 30, 35 verses of scripture. You've already read a chapter worth in the Bible where it testifies of itself.
Yeah.
And that's what's great about God's Word. It testifies of itself. That's all you need to know. By men, it was written by the will of God, and so therefore it testifies of itself. Thank you.